भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 25, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 21. Now, in the previous verse, Lord Kapila Dev speaks about the benefit of becoming attached to a pure devotee. Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidu sa eva sadusu krito moksha dvaram apavritam. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. So the next question that arises is, how do we recognize such a devotee or sadhu? And that question is answered in the verse that we shall discuss today. And these qualities were vividly exemplified by Srila Prabhupada in the struggle at Hare Krishna land. Please repeat. Tatikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana Tatikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana Tatikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana Tatikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushana. Rikshava Karuni. Ladies. Shava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sarva Sadabhushana Rikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Hata Satrava Shanta Sanana Sarvushana Tikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehinam Hata Satrava Shanta Sarva Sadhubhushana Tadikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadeinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sarva Sarvabhushana Tadikshava Tolerant Karunika Merciful Surida, friendly. Sarvadehinam, to all living entities. Ajata Shatrava, inimical to none. Shanta, peaceful. Sadhava, abiding by scriptures. Sadhubhushana, adorned with sublime characteristics. Translation. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Please repeat. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada. A sadhu, as described above, is a devotee of the Lord. His concern, therefore, is to enlighten people in devotional service to the Lord. That is his mercy. He knows that without devotional service to the Lord, human life is spoiled. A devotee travels all over the country, from door to door, preaching, "Be Krishna conscious. Be a devotee of Lord Krishna. Don't spoil your life in simply fulfilling your animal propensities. Human life is meant for self-realization or Krishna consciousness." These are the preachings of a sadhu. He is not satisfied with his own liberation. He always thinks about others. He is the most compassionate personality towards all the fallen souls. One of his qualifications, therefore, is Karunika, great mercy to the fallen souls. While engaging in preaching work, he has to meet with so many opposing elements, and therefore the sadhu, or devotee of the Lord, has to be very tolerant. Someone may ill-treat him because the conditioned souls are not prepared to receive the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. They do not like it. That is their disease. The sadhu has the thankless task of impressing upon them the importance of devotional service. Sometimes devotees are personally attacked with violence. Lord Jesus Christ was crucified. Haridas Thakur was caned in 22 marketplaces. And Lord Chaitanya's principal assistant, Nityananda, was violently attacked by Jagai and Madhai. But still they were tolerant, because their mission was to deliver the fallen souls. One of the qualifications of a sadhu is that he is very tolerant and is merciful to all fallen souls. He is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. So far, Srila Prabhupada has been speaking mainly about Karunika, being merciful, and Tatikshava, being tolerant in the face of the inevitable difficulties that one faces in the effort to extend mercy to the fallen souls in the course of preaching Krishna consciousness. Now he will discuss Surit. Srila Prabhupada signed his letters, "Your Ever Well Wisher." So Surit is derived from Su, which means nice, and Rit, which means heart. And it's generally translated as friend, well-wisher, affectionate benefactor, and so on. So Surit. He is, but not just Surit Sarvadehinam, well-wisher of every living entity. He is merciful because he is the well-wisher of all living entities. He is not only a well-wisher of human society, but a well-wisher of animal society as well. It is said here, Sarvadehinam, which indicates all living entities who have accepted material bodies. Not only does the human being have a material body, but other living entities, such as cats and dogs, also have material bodies. The devotee of the Lord is merciful to everyone. The cats, dogs, trees, etc. He treats all living entities in such a way that they can ultimately get salvation from this material entanglement. Shivananda Sen, one of the disciples of Lord Chaitanya, gave liberation to a dog by treating the dog transcendentally. There are many instances where a dog got salvation by associating with a sadhu. Because a sadhu engages in the highest philanthropic activities for the benediction of all living entities. Yet although a sadhu is not inimical toward anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. And as we will discuss, that was true even of Srila Prabhupada. He had many enemies. He was not the enemy of his enemies. He was always the well-wisher of everyone. But because of some persons' envious natures, they became inimical toward Srila Prabhupada. That was true in many situations, and it was very true in Bombay. Although a sadhu is not inimical towards anyone, the world is so ungrateful that even a sadhu has many enemies. What is the difference between an enemy and a friend? It is a difference in behavior. A sadhu behaves with all conditioned souls for their ultimate relief from material entanglement. Therefore, no one can be more friendly than a sadhu in relieving a conditioned soul. A sadhu is calm, and he quietly and peacefully follows the principles of scripture. Here Srila Prabhupada is referring to Shanta, peaceful, and Sadhava, abides by the instructions of the scriptures. One who actually follows the principles of scripture must be a devotee of God, because all the shastras instruct us to obey the orders of the personality of Godhead. Sadhu, therefore, means a follower of the scriptural injunctions and a devotee of the Lord. All these characteristics are prominent in a devotee. A devotee develops all the good qualities of the demigods, whereas a non-devotee, even though academically qualified, has no actual good qualifications or good characteristics according to the standard of transcendental realization. Translation again. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So, every genuine devotee will manifest these qualities. Although, according to the circumstances, a particular quality may be more visible at a particular time. And certainly, Srila Prabhupada manifested all of these qualities. But because we're especially discussing the 31st anniversary of the grand opening of the Juhu Temple on Makara Sankranti, January 14th, we will discuss the verse specifically in relation to Srila Prabhupada's struggles in Juhu. In brief, one very big businessman, crooked businessman, was met by a devotee, and the businessman mentioned to the devotee, it was actually Tushtakrishna Das. Tushtakrishna Das. He's not with us anymore. He's a very nice devotee. And Mr. Nair that's actually a saintly quality. It's a saintly quality. Anyway, we'll get to that too. So Mr. Nair wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying that he had a large property in Juhu that would be suitable for a noble cause such as Krishna consciousness, and he would like to offer it to Srila Prabhupada, if Srila Prabhupada was interested. So eventually, Srila Prabhupada entered into an agreement to purchase the land, and he paid a deposit on signing the agreement. But Mr. Nair was very cunning, and he inserted a condition in the agreement that the sale had to be completed within 6 months. And time is of the essence. That was in the agreement, quote, time is of the essence, end quote. And it was also a part of the history that Mr. Nair had entered an agreement to sell the vacant part of the property to someone else. And in that agreement, there was a condition that the purchaser had to get permission from the authorities to subdivide the land so he could buy that particular portion, vacant portion. Now, Mr. Nyer owned one of three English daily newspapers in Bombay, the Free Press Journal, so he was very influential. He had been the sheriff of Bombay, and he was a very wealthy and resourceful person. So he, I would venture to say, used his influence to make sure that the earlier purchaser did not get the permission for the land to be subdivided, and so Mr. Nyer canceled the agreement and kept the money that he had paid. And meanwhile, the other party had gone to court about it. And then with us, the same thing happened. It was part of one of the conditions was that we had to obtain the permission of the charity commissioner. And we couldn't get the permission. It just kept getting delayed and delayed and delayed. And again, Mr. Nyer canceled the agreement and held on to the money. So, this is really making a long story short. A very long story. But it seemed that we didn't have any friends. I mean, Mr. Nyer was so powerful and influential. And he had people with him in this whole conspiracy, you could say. It seemed that we had no hope. And then one day, the mayor of Bombay gave a talk at a public place in which he mentioned that, although there are some complications with the Juhu land, but the Hare Krishna people were very good people, and they were actually victims of other mischievous people. So somehow that word came to us, and we thought, wow. Yeah. So we went to meet Mayor Ganatra, and it was encouraging to me that over his door to the mayor's office, there was a Hindi saying, and I knew enough to read it and understand it. Satyam eva jayate, which means truth will prevail. So we met him, and he was very encouraging. And Srila Prabhupada, it was like so complicated. It was so complicated. So he had to deal with the landlord, Mr. Nyer, and with the other claimant, because he was also saying it's his property, or at least the major portion. So, so Srila Prabhupada asked Mayor Ganatra to come and mediate between us and Mrs. Nyer. And at the time, we were staying in P.L. Setty's almost completed house. He hadn't moved into it. It was finished enough that we could live in it. But there's no furniture or anything. Basic were there. And Srila Prabhupada was so expert. I mean, that's also one of the 26 qualities of a devotee, daksha. He's like so expert. I mean, you wouldn't believe how expert he was. So he was in one room, and Mrs. Nair was in another room. And Mayor Ganatra was pretty expert himself. So, because the original agreement was canceled, somehow we had to get Mrs. Nair, the land was actually in her name, to enter a new agreement. So she wanted more money. And so Mayor Ganatra would come and say, you know, what about this? Like she was demanding like so much more. Prabhupada would say, no, this is too much. And then he would give his figure. And the gulf seemed so huge. It's like it also seemed hopeless. And then after like going back and forth between the different rooms, Mayor Ganatra came and said, you agree. The two of you agree. And what I surmised he did was, you know, he gave us a very high figure and told us, you know, she's not going to come down, you're going to have to go up. And then he'd go to her and say, and give a very low figure coming from Srila Prabhupada and say, you know, this is as high as he's going to go, you're going to have to come down. And it was like, it was so hard for both. And then at the end we found out we met somewhere in between. So that was Mrs. Nair. And then there was Mr. Mehta. His company was, I think, S. Chaganlal and Sons. So he came to that house. And he was another sharp businessman. And, you know, there is a conception of a sadhu, and I suppose some sadhus are like that, quite simple. But Srila Prabhupada was not one of them. And so Mr. Mehta, like a really, really, you know, wizened, shrewd businessman, you know, he comes in and sits down in front of Srila Prabhupada. I think he was trying to sort of take Prabhupada by surprise. I mean, that's, you know, so what businessmen do. Even Srinathji does in his interview. He says, like, as businessmen, we try to see the weaknesses of the other party and take advantage of it. So he said to Srila Prabhupada, so who will take the land? And Srila Prabhupada, without skipping a beat, said, I will. Then Chaganlal said, my claim is 3 lakhs. Prabhupada said, my claim is 8 lakhs. Just like totally defeating him, like step by step. And so in the end, Chaganlal said, you know, then there was some negotiation. Prabhupada got him down from his demand. And then it was agreed. And I think Chaganlal didn't really know what happened. I mean, it happened so fast. And he was so unprepared for it. And, you know, it was the etiquette, the cult. He was an elderly person, and I was Prabhupada's assistant. So it was like that. I would, you know, it was the etiquette that I would, you know, walk him from the room down the stairs and see him off. And as he was walking out of the room, he said, he was like shaking his head, he said, your Guru Maharaj is pukka. Your Guru Maharaj is pukka, meaning like really expert. So then, I mean, there are many, many plots and subplots and subplots. But at a certain stage, it came to the point, because the way they do these transactions in India, some percent is paid in white, which means accounted money, and some percent is paid in black, which means unaccounted money. Now, there's a whole discussion as to why that is so prominent in India. But we won't get into that. We won't get into that. But it is very much the system. You, without engaging in that type of dealing, you can't do this type of business in India. So it was a sort of tense situation, because Prabhupada had to pay Chaganlal this money for Chaganlal to withdraw his suit. And once the suit was withdrawn, that was it. Chaganlal had no claim. So, okay, it was written into the agreement that, you know, Prabhupada would say, pay so much. That was the white figure. That was written in the agreement. That was safe for him. But what about the other part, the black money? So in this meeting in the lawyer's office, like discussing how to deal with this, because if we give him the black money first and he doesn't withdraw the case, then where are we? And if he withdraws the case and we don't pay him the black money, then where is he? And it seemed like an impossible conundrum. There was like no solution. And Prabhupada was sitting there, you know, he would usually, in such situations, sort of be quiet and just let the experts discuss, or let the very strongly interested parties discuss, just sort of sitting, shanta, peacefully. And then very meekly and humbly he says, but what if I hold the money? And everyone agreed, of course. You know, who's going to distrust Srila Prabhupada? So in the courtroom, Srila Prabhupada is sitting with this, in America they use briefcases, in India they use paper bags. He's sitting in the courtroom with this paper bag of money. And when Chaganlal withdrew the case, I gave him the paper bag. So, now, coming to Rameshwar Prabhu's very appropriate hissing upon the mention of the demon, there's actually a lesson there, too. That I learned as part of this saga. So, Mr. Nair is, you know, things sort of began civil. I mean, that is Indian culture. Like, you know, even if you go to the home of your enemy, he treats you so nicely that you forget he's your enemy. But as time went on, Mr. Nair's demonic qualities started to come out more and more. And there was a very heavy confrontation between Mr. Nair and Srila Prabhupada. At this stage, Srila Prabhupada was staying at Kartikeya Mahadevi's apartment on Warden Road, in more downtown Bombay. And Mr. Nair came in, and you could see that he was in a very inimical mood. You could just see it from the beginning. He came into Prabhupada's room. And Prabhupada also could see that there was going to be a confrontation. And I don't know if Mr. Nair asked for it or whether Prabhupada just understood it, but he sent everyone out of the room. And Mr. Nair, and Prabhupada's position was always very clear and simple, that, you know, either give us our money back and we'll vacate, or we'll pay you the balance and you give us the land. You know, you can't have both the money and the land. If you want to give us the money back, fine, you can have the land. Or we'll pay you the rest and take the land. So, from outside we could hear the shouting inside the room. And eventually Mr. Nair was becoming so angry. You know, Prabhupada was saying, ultimately, you know, this is Krishna's property. And Mr. Nair, he said that I'm gonna break your Krishna. It's almost like Hiranyakasipu. I'm gonna break your Krishna. And he stormed out of the room. So Prabhupada spent a lot of time in Bombay working on this project. But he also traveled. And soon thereafter, and it was like that, you know, hoping for some breakthrough, then like at the last minute, meeting with Mr. Nair, then Prabhupada left for Australia. And, you know, we continued our preaching. And then one day, and I'll never forget this, because in India they have vendors of newspapers and magazines. They just sit on the sidewalk and they spread out the publications. So right near Crawford Market Metro Cinema, I'm on my way to an appointment with someone, and I look, you know, just sort of not even thinking, just my eyes fell on a newspaper. The Free Press Journal, Mr. Nair's newspaper, this huge banner headline, big, bold type, A.B. Nair is dead. And a big picture, Mr. Nair. And I actually felt jubilant. I actually felt like I might have even literally danced, but I definitely felt like dancing right there on the sidewalk. But I was thinking, is this right? You know, we're like trying to be saintly persons. Is this right? Huh? I wasn't sure. I mean, I felt like that, but I wasn't sure. And then meanwhile, I heard that the devotees in Juhu were also very jubilant. And they were, as we heard it, you know, they were distributing sweets, which really annoyed Nair's supporters and family members. Yeah. So, I mean, I was... You know, I was the temple president, and I did have my relationship with Srila Prabhupada, especially in Bombay. But I wasn't like one of the top leaders, like GBC members, you know. So Bali Mardan, he was like, he phoned. He felt he should give, and yeah, I mean, definitely. He should give Srila Prabhupada the news. So he phoned Australia And Shruti Kirti Prabhu was Prabhupada's servant at the time. And Bali Mardan Prabhu gave him the message. And then, you know, later we heard that Srila Prabhupada folded his palms. He was like taking his massage. You know, thank you, thank you. And then he said, I mean, this is, well, I don't know how confidential we can be, but he said, you know, I was praying for this because he was giving too much trouble to the devotees. I mean, I focused more on the intrigues related to the land, but he would turn off the electricity, he would stop the water supply, and he hired this guy, Ramu the coconut walla, because Juhu has a lot of coconut trees, palm trees, so they have these, they're quite skillful. They just climb up the trunk of the tree and they have this machete and they lop off the coconuts. So he was the coconut walla. But what he was really there for was to like terrorize the devotees. And so, you know, we had our little temple with Radharasa Bihari, and he would just sort of hang around with his machete, looking very, he's a muscular guy, just looking very menacing. And also, his part of his purpose was to scare people away so no one would come to the temple programs from outside. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada said, you know, he was giving too much trouble to the devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada wrote a letter to Dr. and Mrs. Singhal. They were also very good devotees, I mean supporters. And he said, I have received news that Mr. Nair is dead. This is very good news indeed. And then he quoted this verse from Prahlad Maharaj from the seventh canto, that even a saintly person takes pleasure when a snake or a scorpion is killed. And then I got the answer that whether it was appropriate to feel happy, you know, that Nair was, and Prabhupada himself gave the answer from Prahlad. Who could be more saintly than Prahlad? Even a snake or a scorpion takes pleasure when, I mean, even a saintly person, sadhu, even a saintly person takes pleasure when a snake or a scorpion is killed. So there are many twists, you know, reversals to the story. But during one period, Srila Prabhupada, he just really wanted to... you know, there were so many levels. One was getting the land, the other was getting the permission to build. And again, you know, Mr. Nair's main accomplice was the local municipal corporators, and he, you know, did a lot to influence people against us and make sure we never got any permissions and so on. So Srila Prabhupada ended up staying more than maybe about 3 months straight. It's a very, very long time for Srila Prabhupada to stay in any one place. And every day he would speak on the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And later, he he had the devotees compile those lectures into a book called The Teachings of Lord Kapila to Devahuti. And when we got to this verse, to Tikshava Karunika, Srila Prabhupada related it in a very heartfelt way to the difficulties we were facing in Juhu. I've gone a bit ahead with the story, but at that time we were in the thick of it. So I'll read a bit from yes, 25 years ago, no, excuse me, 10 years ago was the 25th anniversary of the temple opening, and our godbrother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj, arranged a wonderful celebration for the 25th anniversary, and many senior devotees came and spoke. But he was really concerned that, like, not like the big, you know, gurus, sannyasis, GBCs should speak. They speak all the time. But that anyone who was there, who participated in any way, should get the chance to speak. It was really a wonderful program. And my health didn't allow me to go in person. So I wrote a letter. And I'll read a bit from that letter. So the letter was actually addressed to everyone who ever participated in helping the Juhu Project. I always wanted, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, to thank you and express our appreciation for your service. Especially in the early days when Srila Prabhupada was beginning the preaching in Bombay and developing the Juhu project. And then on the night that Srila Prabhupada finally succeeded in getting the land, after the signing of the documents and the honoring of Prasad, he reclined back on the bolsters of his asan and remarked, "It was a good fight." And then he added, "Someone should write a book about it." Oh, yes. Yeah, this was another thing that... When Srila Prabhupada entered the agreement to purchase the land from Mr. Nair, he was concerned about the future of the transaction. Like, he had some premonition. And he wanted to secure the possession of the land. So practically, as soon as he got possession, he brought the deities, Radharasa Bihari. Because he thought if, you know, possession is 9/10 of the law, and especially in India, you don't expect anyone to be very strong when there are deities on the property. And so Srila Prabhupada told the deities, "My dear sir, you just come and stand here, and I will build you a beautiful temple." And Tamal Krishna Goswami would remark that we often hear of devotees performing austerities for the sake of the Lord. But in this case, the Lord performed austerities for the sake of the devotees, standing in the shed waiting for Srila Prabhupada to do the service. So,
what was the land Yes. Well,
there's actually two levels to this. Why it was such a big issue. As far as a property, it was a beautiful property. 4 acres, a block from Juhu Beach. And Prabhupada said, as far as property, it was, he wanted to be near Juhu Beach because it would always be an attraction no matter what happened. Thousands of people would always come to Juhu Beach, and that's true. And but the other level was sometimes he would say, actually, I wasn't so keen on the land as such, but because I had invited Krishna, Radharasa Bihari, it would have been a great insult to drive them away. And I think that was like a more underlying reason, or in a way a deeper reason, that he just felt it would have been a terrible insult. But as a property, at that time he said it was the best property in ISKCON because it was close enough to the city that it was accessible to the people of Bombay. But it was far enough from the city and, near the beach that it had a completely different atmosphere. It was like, it was a really nice atmosphere being out there. Yes, that's true. Yeah. And he said, he made that comment, Bombay is my office, Vrindavan is my home, and Mayapur is my place of worship. Good. So, Titikshava Karunika Shurida Sarvadehinam Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sadhava Sadhubhushanam. The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies, he is peaceful, he abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. Then I'm speaking. Although Srila Prabhupada himself perfectly exemplified the verse, he related the verse to the devotees in Juhu. Quote, here all the boys and girls, the devotees, they're concerned with Radha Krishna. That's all. Their whole business, day and night, is Radha Krishna. It's also, anyone who knew Prabhupada or has heard his talks, this is how he saw the devotees. I mean, he did see their faults and he did correct them, but overall this is how he saw the devotees. Their whole business, day and night, is Radha Krishna. From early morning, 3 o'clock, to night, 10 o'clock, their only business is Radha Krishna. That's all. Therefore, they are sadhus. And so many people are criticizing. We're not getting the sanction to build because we have so many enemies. They say we are creating a nuisance. That's another story, but we are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and that is a nuisance. This complaint is going to the police. So that is very difficult. Now, this was a very big shock to Srila Prabhupada. Because one of the conditions for building was a no objection certificate from the police. And the no objection certificate was based on considerations like, you know, traffic, just how it could impact the environment. So the police commissioner wrote a letter denying permission, NOC, no objection certificate, saying that, you know, that the bhajans, which have been a nuisance in the past, will become even more so in the new temple. It was like the time of the Mayapur Vrindavan festival. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan. And when we sent the news to him, he was like furious that they were calling kirtan nuisance. And, you know, he said, we must protest this. And so he came to Bombay. It wasn't really part of the festival. And he brought devotees with him to protest. And I think Amarendra and Balavanta and some people to deal with the politicians. And he was like really, really strong. You know, we'll go to the police commissioner's office and we'll have satyagraha. That's like, means like sitting down and fast. Like we'll sit down and fast till death, you know, and unless they give the permission. '74. Because we actually got the land in '73. So once we got the land, the next challenge was the permission to build. And so he was very much in that mood. But then one morning, and Prabhupada would do this to instruct us, one morning he sort of took the other angle. And he basically said, you know, this is their country. We're guests in their country. And if we annoy them and they don't like it, they can just say, get out. And he quoted, you know, never pick a fight with a crocodile while in the jurisdiction of the water. So he sort of, but then he said what we should do is we should just go all over Bombay and have Hare Krishna festivals and impress upon people the value of Krishna consciousness, and then when they appreciate the value, then they themselves will insist that the temple must be there. But at this stage, and then this, I mean, Prabhupada is like, I just can't tell you how intelligent he is. I mean, Krishna, Shakti, Vinanahi, Karapurisa, empowered by Krishna. He wrote a letter to the commissioner. He had me sign it, I think. But basically what he said, the way he was so skillful, the way he presented it, is he said that, you know, people have said that the kirtan is a nuisance. But the Bhagavad Gita says, satatam kirtayanto mam, that one should always chant the glories of Krishna. One should always engage in kirtan. And you are a leader. You are like, you know, you're the sort of like you're the representative of Krishna because you're the authority. So you should protect us. And Prabhupada quoted Namam Duskritina Mudha Prapadyantena, that those who don't surrender to Krishna are like mudhas, like fools, rascals, demons. And like he appealed to him that you must, you are in that position to protect us from these, you know, fools and rascals and demons who are saying that the kirtan is a nuisance. So he delivered the letter. But there's so many intrigues. Everyone was... There's a lot of complications. Delivered the letter. But because of all the intrigues, the commissioner didn't reply. And you know how it is in India. You wait, but then, you know, you want to remind them, but then again, you don't want to irritate them. And eventually Prabhupada said, okay, go down and find out what's happening. So I went down. I couldn't meet the commissioner. I don't know if he was out or if he was in a meeting, but he wasn't available. He actually was not available. But his secretary, I asked the secretary, so the secretary said that the commissioner received the letter and he read it, and he said it was the best letter he ever received in his whole life. But anyway... in the end, of course, everything turned around. That's another story. But at this stage, when Prabhupada is speaking, we were not getting the permission. And this Pushpakant Matre, the local municipal corporator, it turns out he had a friend, some sort of friend, very high in the government. I think the Home Secretary in Maharashtra, a very high, almost the highest position under the ministers. And he was just convinced that we're CIA, that whole, you know. And he was so high, like the police are under the Home Secretary, like pretty much everyone's under the Home Secretary. And so, you know, nothing was working. And then it was one of those things, like with Mr. Ganatra, how that worked with the land. So with the permission, it was one of those things. Gopal Krishna Maharaj and I figured we'd just go to the chief minister. It was like that. I think we'd gotten little hints that he was favorable. So we went, and he actually met us. S.P. Chavan, a very good man. He actually met us. And, you know, we explained the situation. He knew something about it. And in our presence, and this was real. I mean, a lot of, you know, people can be very diplomatic. They can phone in front of you, and it can all be a sham. He phoned in front of us. He spoke to the Home Secretary. And, you know, obviously the Home Secretary was saying so many things about us that he'd gotten from Pushpakant Matre. And the chief minister said, you know, who's actually guilty? Are they guilty or are you guilty? You know, I think actually the people who are against them are the culprits, not them. And it was amazing the way the politics works. It's like when the chief minister came out very strongly for us, like everyone else fell in line. It was like, whereas previously, no matter what office we went, nothing happened. We couldn't get anything done. And suddenly, wherever we went, everyone was helping us. It was like amazing. So everything followed one after the other. It's very important to, if you can, to cultivate big people, because they can just do so much to help that ordinary people can't. So now, but when Prabhupada was giving this talk, he was right in the midst of it. And you can feel his emotion in his words. From early morning, 3 o'clock, tonight, 10 o'clock, their only business is Radha Krishna. That's all. Therefore, they are sadhu. And so many people are criticizing. We are not getting the sanction to build because we have so many enemies. They say we are creating a nuisance. We are chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, and that is a nuisance. This complaint is going to the police. So that is very difficult. Then Srila Prabhupada became emotional and exclaimed, you can hear this on the tape, therefore a sadhu is advised to tikshava, tolerate all this nonsense. What can be done? We have no alternative but to tolerate. Nobody's coming to help us. Our business is so thankless. Because we are trying to create one temple, so many enemies are giving hindrance. You cannot do it. Therefore, titikshava, you have to remain sadhu. You cannot become a sadhu, non-sadhu. You have to tolerate what can be done. At the same time, you have to become merciful. You know what happened in this place, Hare Krishna land? So much attack by the police, by the municipality, break this temple. We could have gone, considering what is the use of taking so much botheration. We have hundreds of temples outside India. If people here are not liking, let us go away. But no, Karunika, we have come to distribute Krishna consciousness. We must tolerate and give this message to the people. Karunika, very merciful in spite of all trouble. We're almost at the end here. These American boys and girls have come to help me. Not that they have come because they are hungry. No. My mission is you Americans. You chant Hare Krishna so the people of India will see. Oh, Americans are also chanting. Why not we? But unfortunately, such dull brains, that thought is not coming. But still, we have to do it. We have to tolerate. And we have to become karunika, merciful. Why should you want to be merciful? Paraduka duki. Does anyone know what that phrase means? Describes a Vaishnava. One who, yes, Maharaj. Paraduka duki. Yes. Para dukkha dukkhi. Para dukkha, para means others, and dukkha means unhappiness, dukkhi. He's unhappy. He is unhappy in the unhappiness of others. Kripambu dir tam yas tamaham prapadye. There's no question of getting something, money. No. We have got sufficient money. But just to become merciful upon these fallen souls who are suffering on account of becoming animalistic without Krishna consciousness, the preacher, the sadhus, these are sadhus, titikshava, tolerant. Never mind whatever hindrances and tribulations they are offering to us, never mind. Tolerate. And Surida. Surida means the heart is so nice. This Vaishnava is always thinking how a man can be saved from the clutches of Maya. And Ajata Shatrava. When one is living in that way as a sadhu, why will others become enemy? The sadhu does not create enemies. But people become enemies out of their own character. How can a sadhu create enemies? Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. And we are simply teaching, my dear human being, my dear friend, you become a surrendered soul to Krishna. So what is our fault? We don't create any enemy, but they become enemy. Why shall I create enemies? Suridam Sarvadehinam. But they become out of their own nature. So we are in this society, human society, and because we are spreading Krishna consciousness, the envious, who are more dangerous than snakes, are putting so many impediments. But we have to tolerate. We have no other alternative. He's actually preaching to us, while at the same time attributing to us the qualities mentioned in the verse, but at the same time preaching to us that we should adhere to these qualities. We have no alternative, you see. Ajata Shatrava Shanta. Be peaceful. What can be done? Depend on Krishna. These are the ornaments of a sadhu. Titikshava Karunika Surida Sarvadehina. You must know what is a sadhu. First, a sadhu is a devotee. And if he is a devotee, then all the symptoms are there. Now you find a sadhu and associate with him. Then your path of liberation will be open. So it is a spiritual principle that you develop the qualities of the persons you serve. It's mentioned in this first canto, second chapter. Sian Mahat Seveya Vipra. One should serve great souls. And by doing so, one develops their qualities. So Srila Prabhupada had these qualities. He exemplified them. And he instructed us to develop them, to manifest them. And it takes time. It may not happen all of a sudden. But by serving a sadhu like Srila Prabhupada, and that possibility is always open to any one of us at any time, we develop those qualities. Now, in the second chapter of the first canto, it is mentioned Vasudeva Katha Ruchi, that by serving great souls who are free from vice, great service is done, and one develops an affinity for the message of Vasudeva. And Srila Prabhupada comments in the purport that, yes, that by serving great souls, Mahat, one develops their qualities. And the first quality is attachment for hearing and chanting about Krishna, a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna. So by serving, one develops that taste. And at the same time, one also develops the other qualities. So those are the benefits of serving a sadhu. And as you know from the beginning, this struggle in the end was successful. And the temple opened on this date, Makara Sankranti, in 1978, 35 years ago. And there was a full-page color article in Newsweek magazine. Now, in those days, color was just coming in to magazines. Before then, the cover would be color, but the inside would all be black and white. But at that stage, they were just introducing maybe, you know, 2 or 3 pages with color. And so they dedicated a whole page to the opening of the Juhu Temple with many nice colored photos. And there are dioramas in the Juhu Temple. And one of the dioramas shows Srila Prabhupada, from that famous photo of Srila Prabhupada standing under the tree in Tompkins Square Park. And so they published a number of photos, and one was that. And then the caption was, "From Rags to Riches." You know, sort of the idea that Srila Prabhupada began under a tree in New York City, and now there's this beautiful million-dollar marble temple and cultural complex. But in a way, it was also, I mean, you know what I mean, it was also a matter of rags to riches for Radharasa Bihari, because they were standing in this shed, you know, made with asbestos sheets and, you know, some bricks and some iron rods. And then they also had their transition from the hut to the beautiful marble temple. And but when we preach, we have to expect the enemies. If we just want to be popular and have, I mean, of course we do want to be popular and we do want people to like us, but we have to expect there will be enemies. And, you know, sometimes people would challenge, you know, why do you have a big marble temple? And Prabhupada would say, well, what else are you going to do with the marble? You know, if we don't use it in a temple for Krishna, what's going to happen to it? You're going to use it for your bathroom. And sometimes he even said that we want to offer this opulence to Krishna just to make the demons envious. Yeah. What is that? There's some phrase, something like the best revenge is to live nicely, or have you ever heard that saying? Something like that. The best revenge is to live nicely. So in the end, we gave Radharasa Bihari the best facility. We gave whatever nice facility we could for Srila Prabhupada. And so it was an occasion of great rejoicing. And that is what we are remembering and celebrating today. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Shri Radharasa Bihari ki jai. Big Brother ISKCON Los Angeles ki jai. Hare Krishna. So, I think we'll say the class is officially over because devotees have service, but still I will stay, and if any of you have questions, yeah, do any of you have any questions or comments? Oh, Mrs. Nair. Did Mrs. Nair have a change of heart, or did she remain inimical? She did have a change of heart, but at the same time she had very bad association. But she did have a change of heart. And when Srila Prabhupada left, I was in Vrindavan. But Achyutananda Swami was in Juhu, and he said that at the program, the kirtan in the temple after Srila Prabhupada left, he said, and who was in the front row? Mrs. Nair. And he said she was weeping. So she did. She did. She did. There were other times, too, where she really showed her affection to Srila Prabhupada. But she was surrounded by very greedy people, her former husband's friends and accomplices. And but I think at heart she really did have affection for Srila Prabhupada and faith in Srila Prabhupada. Yes, Manabhata Prabhu. Oh. Oh, wonderful. Yeah, on the 25th anniversary, that was 10 years ago, I was like I so much wanted to be there. So I just phoned Juhu. And yeah, I asked for Sridhar Swami. I really intended to speak with him, and he really wanted me to come, and you know, he was very disappointed when I didn't come. But they couldn't find him. But the receptionist at Juhu, I said, well, you know, what about this one? What about that one? And the receptionist said, well, Jagat Purush is passing by. Should I give the phone to him? I said, yeah, give the phone to him. And Jagat Purush Prabhu, your brother, he was in such ecstasy. I mean, literally, he was in such ecstasy. He was just like floating on waves of ecstasy, and he was just saying how wonderful the reunion was and the celebrations, and yeah. Yes, yes, probably that someone should write a book, and I feel that is my duty. So I'm finishing one more. It's pretty much finished, about death and dying. And then, yeah. Yeah.
Speaking about books, we have had seven some books that we have wrote. And if anybody wants to buy one of the books, my last question is the name of the book is What Is the Sea? And the other one is Many Moons.
Yeah, yeah, the Watering the Sea, that was what I read from. Anyway. Yeah, it's about more about Srila Prabhupada directly, Watering the Seed and Many Moons. It's also about Prabhupada, but nine of Srila Prabhupada's exalted followers who have left us and their service to Srila Prabhupada, how they were inspired by Srila Prabhupada and how they followed him and how they achieved very exalted states before they left. Yes, Tattvavit Prabhu. Yes, this is a very, very instructive, because the same opposition exists even now, and it was very vividly, yeah, very, very good parallel between Juhu and Kazakhstan, because they also came and broke buildings, and it was horrible. Govinda Maharaj was with me. Yeah, very soon after that. And I mean, he was hardly sleeping, really. It was amazing. I don't know how he did it. He's just so strong. But we made a call to Kazakhstan, and we spoke to all the devotees. First, Bibi Govinda Swami, and Niranjan Swami was staying with me then, too. And then he spoke, and I spoke, and it was, like, so emotional. Like, so emotional. And then afterwards, I mean, we were all crying. Individually, we were crying. And then at the end, like, the three of us just hugged and we were crying. So, yeah. And Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj from Moscow is a very intelligent person. He, on his own, could see the parallels. And so he actually asked me if I had anything about that I could send them that he could share with the devotees to encourage them. That's very good you mentioned this. I think I'll send this thing, Prabhupada's talk. Yeah, I think that's very appropriate. Thank you, Tattva. We are so dependent on, well, devotees in general, especially my God brothers, you know, coming in. I was like so buoyed, you know, my spirits were so lifted seeing my God brothers. And then, yeah, I saw Rameshwar Prabhu. I didn't notice him when I first came in. And then, I forgot, what's Makanlal, Govinda Swami or... Bhakti Madhurya, yes, beautiful Bhakti Madhurya Govinda Swami, yeah. So important that we associate with each other. All right, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada, Hare Krishna.